Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of Beer Nuts Podcast, episode 117. Tonight we're going to do a different topic. It's called Howdy Neighbor. Beers that from neighboring states or provinces. And I say provinces because some of us are on the border. So tonight we have four beer nuts with us. Certainly invite all of you to crack open a cold one. And we're out of quotes of the week. We are discontinuing that. And in lieu of that, each beer nut will tell us the last untapped rating that they've entered into their untapped app on their phone. So JR here, but I'm going to introduce the other beer nuts first. So welcome, Dugout.
Oh, good evening, everyone. This is Dugout here in Clawson, Michigan. My last untapped check-in was Good Ale by Rolling Oak Brewery. And I think I'll bring this up a little later in the show, because this beer was pretty awesome. It's my last five. It's the first five-star check-in I've given a long time. So,
oh, wow.
We'll come back to that one.
Sounds good. All right, and then we're going to go down south to Durham, North Carolina. Welcome, Russ.
So the last thing I had was last night. I had a Prairie Paradise as the last thing before closing.
Wow, we got some pretty big hitters there. So. Sounds good. All right. And here back on Michigan soil to Uncle Pete. Welcome, Uncle Pete.
Hey, thanks, JR. And hello, the Beer Nuts and all our listeners. It's Uncle Pete, Rockwood, Michigan. And my last untapped check-in was a couple days ago. Doesn't mean I haven't had plenty of beers since, which I have, which I need to catch up on my check-ins. But anyway, I went down to Founders Brewing in Detroit at their Detroit tap room, and I checked in the Canadian Breakfast Stout, otherwise known as CBS, the 2018 vintage. And I gave it a pretty high rating. I think it was about a 4.5 or 4.75. I thought it was sweet, chocolate forward, and with a great maple finish. Fantastic beer this year. Great job to Founders on their CBS.
And it's tough acts to follow there. So, well, JR here in Gros Eel, Michigan, right on the Canadian border, which will be relevant later in the show. But for right now, I just want to, I actually have kept up on my untapped check-ins. And this afternoon, Uncle Pete and I made a few brewery visits here in Michigan. Stopping at Old Nation earlier, and then on the way home, a brewery I had never checked out called Brewery Becker out in Brighton, Michigan. And the last beer I had of the day there was unbelievably good, so good that I actually broke down and brought a howler of it. It's a fruit braggot. I think it was like 18%, Pete. Amazing blend of Michigan cherries and raspberries. Those of you that don't know, a braggot is part beer, part mead, I believe. Brewed with honey. So it was outstanding, very strong, served in a little 5-ounce taster, and that was plenty. But I have 32 ounces of it, so somehow we're going to have to figure a way to put that down. Going to need some help with that one. But it's a great experience, great brewery, Brewery Becker. Really enjoyed my time there today. But let's get down to business. Again, we'll invite everybody to crack open a cold one. Relax, enjoy a beer with us. We're not pretentious. We just want to introduce more good people to more good beer. That's what we're about here at the Beer Nuts. We're just a bunch of ordinary guys spreading the gospel of good beer. So we're going to turn it over to Doug because it was his idea to do this episode of Howdy Neighbor. And we're just selecting beers from neighboring border states or provinces. So Doug out, take it away.
All right. The first one, my only one tonight, is from New Glarus Brewing in Wisconsin. Uncle Pete, you've been there recently, so you're quite familiar with the brewery itself, but it is in New Glarus, Wisconsin. Beautiful area if you've not been to there. The beer I have is called Enigma. I believe this is from 2017. It was given to me as part of a swap deal, and I just I've had it in the fridge and just not had the chance to crack it open. I've had it once before, but I believe the version I had was 2015, if I'm not mistaken. On the website, it's listed as a sour brown ale with the flavor defies description, and that it goes well with roast chicken and beef bourguignon, Avalon cheese, which must be local, and poached pears and vanilla ice cream. So, gosh, what doesn't go with vanilla ice cream, right? More vanilla ice cream, I guess. So, and according to the website, it says a few times a year we cut Dan loose to brew whatever he chooses. Always handcrafted, the bottle you hold is brewed for the adventurous soul. It's a very limited edition, and we make no promises to ever brew this style again. A complex and intriguing original, the mystery began with wild yeast spontaneously fermented, fermenting a rich treasure of malted barley and cherries. Unlined oak casks breathe deep vanilla hues and cords of smoke into this sour brown ale. Our master brewer has forged a smooth garnet tapestry that defies description. Wander off the beaten path. So that is the brewery description. So I opened this a little bit ago. And the first thing I noticed was some heavy funk, you know, definitely some farmhouse funk coming out of this. And you get some real strong flavors or nose of cherry and tart fruit off the nose of it. There's some there was a little bit of head. I think some of it sort of died off due to the age, but there's still a little bit of head retention in it. Some nice lacing coming down the glass. It's got a really nice sort of brown, reddish hue to it. Really just sort of reminds me of an Ode Bruin, Flanders Ode Bruin style. Let's give this guy a taste here. So it's pretty tart up front. A lot of fruit. I'm getting some, definitely some cherries and maybe a little bit of sour apple. Not sour, but just really tart, puckery apple. Most of the flavor's up in the front of it, and you get a little bit of a linger to the backside. It's got a decent, kind of a decent mouthfeel and body to it. But again, I said the carbonation's kind of fallen on this one, so... it sort of drops off pretty quick. Yeah, I'm definitely getting both apple and cherry on this one. But as far as sourness goes, it's somewhere in that medium level. It's not kind of make you pucker up sour. It's but it's definitely a nice drinking beer, a nice tasting beer. I wouldn't want any more than one or two, but you know, that's just the way I am with sour beers in general. They don't play well with my digestive system, and after a couple of them, it can start to really turn my whole body turns sour as opposed to just drinking sour. So,
hey, Doug, when you look at the label on that one, does it have any notation as to a sourness level? Because I was thinking, is it New Glarus that has that on their beers, or was it another brewery that puts a sourness scale meter on their labels?
I think it's a different brewery that puts that sourness scale on there.
I think it might be Jolly Pumpkin.
Yeah, maybe. And I was going to suggest that I'm almost certainly it's certain that it's Jolly Pumpkin. There's definitely a lot of writing on the bottle, but you know, the lighting's not the best where I'm sitting, and the print type is so small that I'm not even going to attempt to read this, and I do have prescription glasses, and I can read just fine. So,
and they do those red labels with like the gold, gold letter. It's hard to read,
and it's kind of shriveled up a little. It's got some age to it, so I'm not going to bother doing that. I'm going to assume what's printed on the bottle is what I read off of the website. So we'll just go with that. But yeah, New Glarus is really well known for a lot of their different beers, but in particular their fruit beers and their way of bringing out just incredible amounts of fruit flavor to the point of not actually having it taste like beer. Although this one in particular has that kind of Flanders Red or Oud Bruin style to it. So really well done. I'm definitely pleased with this beer as I have been in the past.
I can just taste it based on your description, and it was in an unlined oak barrel. So did it pick up some good vanilla at all? Or
it does. Kind of, yeah, influence? It has some bit of vanilla. It's definitely in there. There's a slight astringency to it, but I feel that the fruit sort of takes over any of the vanilla. So it's not, there's not a whole lot of balance to the beer. I mean, it's tart and fruit. You get a little bit of the oakiness towards the finish and a little bit of linger. Not a whole lot of vanilla in this one, though.
What was the alcohol content on that one?
I think this one was 4. What did I see on this? 4.2. I might be wrong.
Yeah,
it's right around 4%.
Okay.
If so I'm not mistaken, let me just double check here. See if I've got it right. Oh yeah, 5.5 on this one. So yeah, I mean, a lot of it's up there for their fruit beers. Most of their fruit beers are hovering at that 4% and some are below. So it's got, about an average kick for a regular beer on there.
When I was there this summer, I went into their, their beer store right there on the brewery property. And it was kind of laid out like a sort of like a warehouse with just stacks and stacks of their beers on pallets and still in boxes. And you'd grab a basket on the way in or a box or a carrier and go around and just pick out what you want. And I'm pretty sure I remember seeing this one. Unfortunately, I passed. I did end up picking up, I don't know, 7 or 8 other New Glarus offerings. But yeah, I'll have to try this one out sometime.
All right, well, another great New Glarus beer, man. Everything they make is great. Pete and I both actually were pondering including one until Doug selected one first, so we wanted to kind of spread it around a little bit, so we went another direction. But well, thanks for sharing that one, Doug. Out. I think it's time to move down south to North Carolina. So, Russ, I'll turn it over to you. Tell us about your beer.
Okay, so as some of you know, my kids play roller derby, and we have to travel a fair amount to go to games and tournaments and stuff. And on a trip to Columbia a couple years ago, Columbia, South Carolina, just for dinner, we stopped in a local little pub that had some local-ish offerings on tap. They didn't have any standard big craft brewery stuff. It was all mostly North Carolina and South Carolina beers. And they had a brewery that I hadn't heard about before called Legal Remedy Brewing. And they had what they called a mocha blonde stout on. And so that was my first experience with a blonde stout. I know last week Chris had his first experience with it, and he found that he liked it. And similar to him, I mean, it's an odd-looking beer that still tastes, for a stout, that still tastes like a stout. About a year after I had it for the first time, they started making it in 2016, and I had it around June that year, and they had started making it in January. About a year after that, in 2017, they started distributing up here. So I was actually able to get it locally. Didn't have to travel to get it anymore, which has been really nice. I keep it around as kind of a conversation piece sometimes. I mean, I really like it. I keep it around because people are usually used to seeing me drink rather dark beers, and this is not. And they wonder what the heck is Ross drinking? Did he suddenly convert to IPAs or what? When they're kind of looking at this, me holding a glass, and it has a different color than they're used to seeing in my hand. So I'm going to go ahead and crack it open now. So what we get is a slightly hazy, golden, pale gold drink. It's got about a finger and a half of fine head on it. The smell is... Oh, you know what? I should have read the can first, to tell you the truth. So just to describe the beer going into it. So they call it a unique pairing of coffee and white chocolate flavors. So they use white chocolate coffee and mocha all as part of the beer. And it says, when world flavors like white chocolate, mocha, and stout beer combined, you know you are destined for an exciting time. When that exciting time comes as a blonde beer, you know you're in for even more fun and what is sure to be an international experience. So on the smell, right away you get coffee and you get the white chocolate and a little bit of a malty smell. There's something else there I'm not quite getting, but I guess maybe it's just a little more of the mocha mixing with the white chocolate. Taste wise, okay, so the first thing you get is the coffee, and then the chocolates kind of kick in. You get the white chocolate and the mocha right in a row, and it's a very smooth transition, and it's got a nice clean finish. Yeah, you're definitely getting, it's definitely a coffee first and then the chocolates kick in, but it's a very smooth, and there's nothing overpowering, and it just transitions very quickly from one taste to the next. It's probably a smidgen more carbonated than the stouts I normally have. Still, I mean, that's not a lot, and it's got a nice mouthfeel to it. It might be a little heavier than what it looks like looking into the glass. But all in all, a very drinkable stout. It comes in at 6%, which is on the low end for me, so I can have more of these than I would my other drinks. And again, I use it as something of a conversation piece. I'll sneak a pour of it and wander around at whatever happening I'm at, and then people are looking at my glass thinking, what did he have? Because normally it's a nice dark stout, and that's not what's in my hand. Like I said, I enjoy this. I enjoy being able to get it up here regularly. All of our bottle shops now get it on a somewhat regular basis. And I recommend this to anybody who goes down to Legal Remedy or is in the North Carolina, South Carolina area. The brewery is actually in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's half an hour south of Charlotte. So the fact that I had it in Columbia, which was further south than Charlotte, was a little lucky for me the first time, I guess. They were probably just starting to reach distribution to that point. That far south in the state when I had it for the first time. So I was very lucky to have it. It was my first blonde stout experience. And like Chris, I was very impressed with the beer for the first time, not knowing what to expect. And I regularly have this beer. That's what I can say about it as a compliment. This is something that I keep in the fridge for me.
Now, is it a beer yellowish, or is it a little bit darker?
No. It's yellow. I mean, you could think that this was a New England IPA looking at it at a distance. It's a golden color with a slight haze to it.
I can see how all your beer friends would be surprised to see you walking around drinking that.
Well, and that whole category of white stouts or blonde stouts is very polarizing with certain beer drinkers and beer brewers in general to say that's not a stout. But, you know, who am I to judge? I've had a few myself that I've enjoyed, and if you like it, drink it.
Amen. All right, well, getting thirsty up here, Pete, so I think it's your turn. So let's go right into Uncle Pete's beer.
Okay. Well, I want to say howdy, neighbor, to all of our Ohioan neighbors to the south and southeast of us here in Michigan. But that's our neighbor that I want to send our well wishes to and thank them, actually, for providing us with many great beers and a few I know that we've reviewed over the years here on the show. We've had beers from Jackie O's and Fathead. Hoofhearted, I think we've had on the Ryan show. Geist. Ryan Geist. So thanks to our neighbors in Ohio for some great beers. And I want to talk about another great brewery and some good beer from Ohio, from Great Lakes Brewing Company. And out of Cleveland, Ohio, right on the shores of Lake Erie. And this is a barrel-aged blackout stout. And we happen to have a 2015 vintage here, bottled in 2015. So been sitting on the shelf for a couple years. And if you don't know the backstory behind blackout, the connotation behind the name of this beer, it was in 2003, there was a huge power outage. Basically a blackout in most of the northeastern United States. And I know all around the Great Lakes was blacked out. And so there were stories circulating about all the camaraderie and good times that people had during the blackout, you know, where they came out and thought, well, our beer's going to get warm, so we better consume it and have some little mini parties, little mini block parties as the blackout continued for about 36 hours. So that's the backstory. I'm going to pour this up, and we'll give a little bit of a review on it. And, JR, I'm going to let you pour your own while I can continue. But just pouring it at an arm's length here, I can already smell it from an arm's length away. Definitely a very black beer. Not much head on this one. Very thin head, none at all, hardly, when I poured, and I didn't pour it very daintily, but I get some aroma. I get some dark fruits, a little bit of smoke, very rich, kind of molasses-y aromas. Well, let's have a sip and see what we got. Well, I'll tell you, this beer, to me, has the flavor of a barrel-aged stout that has been aged for a couple of years. It's got a very smooth quality to it. I get tons of coffee and chocolate. It doesn't taste really hot, and this comes in at what, JR? It comes in at 9.5% ABV. But very nice sweetness to it with a lingering coffee bitterness. And it's very pleasant. It's like a black coffee that I've added sugar to, just to put it in simple terms. But it's a good beer. I'd love to drink, you know, the rest of this bottle, considering it's been aged for 3 years. And at the time this came out, I think it was kind of a hard to get. Is that, I would say, JR? So glad that you have one, and glad that we're sharing it here today.
Yeah, this was pretty tough to get. Yeah, I think it was brewery only. But it's been cellared for 3 years, and, you know, I'm really getting a lot of that dark fruit characteristic that you get only through time and aging. Dark fruit, raisins, figs, that kind of dark fruit, which I find very enjoyable in a aged stout or old ale or barley wine. It's really delicious. I know when this first came out, I got a couple of these. I think I only had two of them, and I aged one and drank one. And I remember when it first came out, it was really boozy, and there's no booziness at all. Again, just really enjoy the traits of this that emerged through the aging. It's a completely different beer. When I had it, I remember it was really hot, really boozy, a lot of bourbon. The bourbon is now just melded right in with everything else. It's there, and it's strong, and it tastes strong, but everything is mellowed out to a good degree. And what I enjoy most about it, again, is the dark raisin, dark fruit that emerges from the aging. But, yeah, there's coffee, there's chocolate, But I really like that dark fruit, raisiny, and really, really nice mouthfeel on it. Nice and sticky. Yeah, it's sweet, but it's not cloying sweet. It's just the right perfect. It's matured very well, and it's very, very enjoyable. And I give this a very high mark, probably a 4.75 on a 5.
If it was hot, sweet, and sticky, it'd probably be rock candy. Ba-dum-bum.
And they'd call it Sammy Hager.
Well, you know, great beer from Cleveland. So this is this brewery's in Cleveland. If you ever get to downtown Cleveland, they do have a brewery there, and they do, I think, release this every year, once a year, and I know the demand is like through the roof now. People know about it, and whenever they have the big release, I think it's ticketed now and are very limited, and you got to go there to get it. And but for those that do their due diligence and go there to get it, it's worth the trip. So Cleveland's about 3 hours from us in southern Michigan, southeastern Michigan. And really not that bad of a road trip.
Well, and there is some distribution on that beer every year. It's just very limited where we live. We tend to not see any at all or very little. But I've seen good distribution with that product in and around Toledo and in parts of Indiana as well. So it gets around, but it just goes quick. A lot of the border cities, it seems to evaporate more, at least Michigan border cities, a lot quicker than it does on the interior of the state. But fantastic beer. I've had it a couple times and always enjoyed it.
Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go finally to my selection here. And then we're going to probably just go around and talk a little bit about our favorite neighboring state breweries as we finish our beers to wrap the show off. But I am going international here because I live on the tiny island of Gros Eel in Michigan, which is in the Detroit River, and right on the other side of the river is our neighbors to the north for most people, but actually to the east for me, and technically Detroit is the one place you can say you can look to Canada from the south. So this is from the province of Ontario, Canada. It's Cameron's Brewing Company, Early Bird Breakfast Barley Wine. So save the big hitter for the end here. I'm going to pour this. This is in a 473 milliliter can. Interesting size.
That's roughly a pint, I would say.
So I'm opening this. Comes in a interesting label. There's a rooster, picture of a black and white picture of a rooster on here. And I'll read. Let's see. I was going to read from the can. There's actually a truncated version of this on their website, which will be easier to read because the print on the can is small, and I'm an old guy, as Pete said. So it says, this barley wine style ale has been aged in a fodder with two classic Canadian ingredients, Ontario maple syrup and cold steeped coffee. The result is an amalgamation of flavors that includes molasses, caramelized sugar, toffee, white chocolate, and dark fruits. To give our barley wine a long finish that is a perfect addition to your favorite breakfast. It has won a couple of awards here. 2017 World Beer Awards Country Winner and 2017 Ontario Craft Brewing Awards Bronze Medal. All right, so let's get down to business here. I just poured this. I got a thin layer of white foam on the top. The beer itself is an orange amber color. I hold it up to the light. It almost looks just like a glass of iced tea. I get a coffee. Uncle Pete was saying it was almost like a green pepper. I know some coffee tends to, you know, taste or smell like peppers. So I'm getting mostly coffee. It's a coffee on the aroma to me. Maybe a little bit of hop bitterness, too, from the Chinook hops. So I'm going to take a taste. I was expecting a little bit of maple sweetness. It's very little. Subtle. The coffee overpowers everything. It's not a very thick mouthfeel. It's kind of like medium mouthfeel. As a barley wine, I wouldn't expect it to be real thick like an imperial stout. But so it's quite an interesting beer. It's a little bit different than what I expected. But I'd say coffee dominates. A little bit of maple. I guess I'm just kind of surprised because it's not quite what I expected, but I'm going to have to just take a few more sips and kind of get used to it.
You have anything to add, Pete?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, the coffee, on the aroma, I mean, immediately I'm thinking peppers, green peppers, but you straightened me out when you said coffee, and I can understand the linkage between the coffee aroma and a green pepper aroma now. First time I've ever made that connection. But yeah, it's very coffee forward, long lasting on the coffee flavor. I personally do get a sweetness on my tongue from it. I think that's probably influenced from the, you know, it's got a high malt bill plus the maple. And it's a good beer. I'm with you. I mean, I didn't expect it to taste like this. But, you know, when you open a can of one you've never had before, you never know what to expect sometimes. So it's a delight. It's a surprise and a delight, in my opinion. Definitely a good drinking, strong, you know, it's a barley wine, 11.8%. It's high on the IBUs, 80 IBUs, so it's definitely got a hop bill in it. It's good. It's very good. And, I'm just surprised and delighted.
Yeah, I think the surprise for me and what I may have overlooked is that 80 IBU. I think there's a lot of hops in this, and I think that's what's – the bitterness is kind of hiding. It's hard to tell whether it's a coffee bitterness or a hop bitterness, but it's definitely coffee forward, a lot of bite, a lot of bitterness, tempered by that a lot, you know, that tons of malt and a little maple in it, which balances it out nice. But it's just, I guess you're not, when I think of a barley wine and I think of a, you know, breakfast beer, coffee, maple, I think of something much sweeter than this. And there is sweetness in it, but it's like a small amount of sweetness that balances this out. I think the hop and coffee bitterness, wins out over that sweetness.
Yeah, I've been to Cameron's. It happens to be in Oakville, Ontario, which is just slightly west of the big metropolis of Toronto. And it was pretty much directly across the street from the automotive assembly plant that I used to work at over in that region. So Cameron's is popular there. When I used to go to the beer outlets, you could find a lot of Cameron's beers. This one may be a seasonal or a specialty beer. I don't think it's on their year-round list. Typically with Cameron's, what I saw the most of was their year-rounders, the cream ales and the ambers, the straightforward beers. And you know, a lot of mixed packs, a mixed 12 packs with the variety of Cameron's. But again, they do have plenty of specialty beers and barrel-aged beers and, you know, breaded and sour beers and all that kind of stuff. And this, I think this is it's a very good barley wine. It was a surprise to both of us, but no complaints from either of us, I'm sure. Just something different that's... And that's a good thing. It's fun to experiment. It's fun to open these beers. And that's what we get out of it is the joy of finding something new.
Amen. Yeah. And at almost 12%, I'm going to sleep well tonight after finishing this off. But yeah, now that I've had a few sips, I'm adjusting to it, the bitterness. And it's a treat. It's a good find. And glad I was able to find a good beer from our neighbors in across the river, just across the river. I could almost throw a rock to the other side. Maybe not quite. Maybe when I was a little younger, but thought it was appropriate since I live right here on the border to honor our Canadian friends with one of theirs. So here, cheers to our Canadian friends across the border.
Cheers, eh?
Yeah, eh?
Cheers.
So that wraps up the beer reviews for tonight, but we're going to go back around and just talk a little bit. I mean, we were going to talk about neighboring breweries, but before we do that, Uncle Pete and I made a little beercation today for the day. We started our day in Williamston, Michigan at one of our favorite Michigan breweries, Old Nation. They had their first ever release of their double dry hopped M43. Most of you who listen to the show, I'm sure, have heard us review M43 before. And even if you haven't listened on the show, you probably heard of one of the most popular beers in the state of Michigan,
the New England IPA known as M43. Well, they came out with their double dry hop today, and Pete and I ordered a flight and tried some of their other beers, but we made a point to taste the regular M43 against the double dry hopped, and we both agreed that it was a little bit more aroma and flavor in the double dry hopped version when you tasted them head to head. So wouldn't you agree, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my take. Immediately, the aroma was much more present, much more perfumey, and then the flavor had just a lot more juiciness to it. Just a great beer. It's very turbid and cloudy. I mean, as yellow and as orange juice, but looks like orange juice with, you know, like somebody mixed flour into it or something. Just a turbid, you couldn't see through it for the life of you. So, great beer. I bought a case, and boy, I can't wait to drink some more of it.
Yeah, and I hate that you use that term flour, because that was like a misconception when the New England style came out. A lot of people thought the breweries were just making it hazy with the flour, but I assure you, and actually Pete talked to one of the brewers, I believe, today that explained about how they infuse all these extra hops in. Didn't you see a separate vessel they use for that, Pete?
Yeah, they had a large... The guy described it to me, and he said it's like a huge garbage disposal. It was just a huge stainless tank, probably 2 foot diameter and 3-4 feet tall, and had a lid. And he said, yeah, we put the dry hops in there, close the lid, turn it on. It kind of macerates that all into a puree or a pulpy mash, and then they feed it right into the lines, into the beer, and then, dry hop the beer with the pulp of this dry hop mixture. To me, I think what that does, it just increases the amount of surface area that the hops are going to put onto the beer. And, you know, if you just take cone hops and throw them in your beer, you know, there's a lot of surface area that's hidden inside the cone that may not come in contact with your beer and be able to offer up all those great flavors and aromas. So I think by grinding them up and doing that to it, kind of helped me understand how they probably impart all those characteristics of the juiciness and the aromas into the M43.
And just want to mention one other special beer that was available today that we took advantage of trying. Old Nation had some cases of Electron Brown, which is a Imperial Double Brown Ale, I think, or Brown Ale, which maybe not excite many people, but it's also infused with espresso beans. So it was a really nice coffee flavor to it, nice medium-bodied beer that we both thoroughly enjoyed, and picked up some cans of it too. So if you ever get a chance to try that one, we'll have to get you a can dug out. I think you'd really like it. Ross, it might be up your alley too, nice dark one for you. So Electron Brown, another treat that we discovered there today. And then last but not least, on the way out of there, Pete's brother was with us and convinced us to go to one of his local spots, the Brewery Becker in Brighton, Michigan. Brewery I had never been to before, and we sampled some really unique and good beers. Can't remember the names of them all, but I wanted to at least mention that beer that was my last on my Untappd that I said at the beginning of the show. It's called the Fruit Braggot, which is like a half mead, half beer braggot. I believe it was, 18.2% or something. It was a really big hitter, but served in a 5-ounce glass, which was plenty. But it was really, really unbelievably tasty. It says amazing blend of Michigan cherries and raspberries. And it was just really, really fruity, kind of boozy because of the high ABV, but really, really flavorful sipper. Just we all agreed that it would be perfect to sip before, during, and after your Thanksgiving meal. So I actually, there's no way I was leaving out there without getting some. So I do have 32 ounces of it in a howler. I don't know how I'm going to possibly drink that all myself. So next time us up here nuts get together, hopefully in the very near future, maybe for Thanksgiving, hopefully I can share this with you, Doug. And it's a real treat, and I hope you get to try it.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, I only had a sip because I was driving today, so I had a Kolsch. JR was knocking down all the big boys, and the the barley wines and the Braggots and the Vardrickens and all these crazy beers up there. Very, very interesting place in Brighton, Michigan, Brewery Becker. If anybody's around the Brighton area, by all means, check them out.
Very cool. I was shadowing you guys, but I was working today. So I was out in Okemos. I went right past Old Nation and coming back home, went right past Brighton. And I was working in Brighton today. So, but yeah, couldn't do it. No beer for work.
Well, let's go just back around to everyone and start with you, Doug. Just maybe briefly mention some of your other honorable mention breweries that border us. You know, we've got here in Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Ohio, Canada, Ontario. Throw out a couple ideas for anybody that comes to this part of the country.
Well, one of my favorites, and I know, Uncle Pete, you've been there too, is Burnham Brewing. Just outside of Michigan City, Indiana, and for a lot of reasons for me. I mean, it's an area I travel to regularly for work, and you know, it's become my cheers of on the road brew pubs, because when I walk in the door, everybody goes, "Doug!" So that's pretty cool. But their beers are awesome. I love their beers. They're creative. You never get the same thing twice almost when you're in there. There's always something different available to take home. They've got great bourbon barrel aging. Their Long John's On series is always really, really just great. So, and it's the vibe there. And I typically would be there on a Tuesday night, which is vinyl night. And my buddy Robert Rolf Feddersen plays some music and spins records and is an all-around MC for a great time. And I think it's a cool place. It's sort of tucked away in the woods right off the beaches outside of Michigan City. And the big old blueberry farm right next to it.
Yeah, I've been to that one, Dugout. I really would recommend it as well. It was on my journey to the Chicago area, you know, from Detroit to Chicago, and it was a great stopover, you know, halfway there. And yeah, great beers. I never got to have as much fun as you did probably when they had the vinyl spinning in the evenings, but nonetheless, it was about the beer when I went, and it was fantastic.
All right, how about Ross? Any more recommendations for bordering states from North Carolina? You got some, you got Virginia down there, Tennessee, I think, South Carolina, what am I might be missing?
We share a border with Georgia as well. Way out in the west, butt end of North Carolina touches Georgia. But so I'll talk about one that just started. We started getting some distribution here from Virginia. And it used to be a, I guess it still is for many people, a travel to go to their releases, is Hardywood in Virginia. They've got a, they, the reason they're attracted to me is they've got a couple big stouts. And they just released their seasonal gingerbread stout, which actually got distribution here for the first time. So I've got a couple bottles of that tucked away today. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, I'm not sure how border-ish it is, but I think it's somewhat relevant since it's a Michigan reference. For me from North Carolina is my favorite, I guess my favorite local brewery, John knows, is Southern Pines. They do a beer that I really love called Drunken Vigils, and they also have a German chocolate cake that's really good. They're coming out with a new Russian Imperial Stout that is Michigan themed, if you understand the 80s reference, and that is, it's going to be called Partisan Rock Russian Imperial Stout. Anybody get it? So that was the...
Got me stumped.
It's Kid that, Rock, right?
Now, Partisan Rock was the rock at the very end of Red Dawn that explained that the war was over as all war ended. So anyway, it's a Russian Imperial Stout that's Red Dawn themed. And they're releasing it Friday, and they're having a little party for it, and they're showing the movie Red Dawn as part of it, so... that's happening. So I was sort of planning to go down there. I'm not sure if I can actually make it.
Did I miss something? I thought Red Dawn was in Colorado or something.
No, It was Michigan.
Michigan?
Yeah.
There. Man, how'd I miss that? I saw that movie.
Well, anybody who knows me knows that I know nothing about movies. I'm a sports genius and a doom cop when it comes to movies. So,
if you remember the Freedom Fighters were the Wolverines. They called themselves the Wolverines.
Well, there you go. I'm not a lifelong Michigander, so I get a pass. Plus, I have never even seen Red Dawn. That's how sad my movie knowledge is.
I thought it was a Colorado town that they got invaded, and those guys, you know, headed for the hills and gave them a hard time. I'll have to check on that.
Yeah. So
my money's on you, Ross.
Okay. So anyway, that's happening this week here. I just thought that funny that it was that was happening. And I would like to throw one brewery out there that I wanted to mention last week. I was in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and I got to visit Angry Chair for the first time, and that place was spectacular. They had a solid every style they made. They had a very solid entry in it. I did tasting of various things, and they had a couple awesome stouts on as well. So I would, if you're ever in that area, that's a place to go sit down for a while. It's a relatively small place, but it's well worth the visit, and they're right in Tampa, so you don't have to go very far if you're in the Tampa area. So.
Well, my age, it must be my age, guys, because it was a 1984 film called Red Dawn, and that one was, in fact, a Colorado town that got invaded.
Oh, was it?
There was a 2012 remake, and it turned out to be Spokane, Washington that got invaded.
So, I guess I missed I missed that reference up. I'm sorry.
I was excited.
No, I don't know. I was reading stuff online today about the release, and I guess things got merged. So, okay. Well, sorry. It wasn't as cool a reference as I thought.
Well, that's all right.
No harm made. I didn't mean to make it sound like that.
Well, it was the. I guess mostly the Wolverines reference is what got us. So I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather not talk about Wolverines.
I know. I'm sorry, JR.
All right. Moving right along, I guess, Pete, you're next.
Oh, Bordering States Breweries. Okay, gee.
You want to think about it? Now
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, what I'm going to do is just briefly mention one brewery from each bordering state. I've already gone through Ontario, so I'm going to go down to Ohio and, you know, my favorite Ohio brewery, unquestionably, is Jackie O's. But I want to just mention one, because everybody knows Jackie O's, one that kind of flies under the radar down in Cincinnati called Listerman's. I've visited there a couple times, usually with my family in tow, and I have, like, you know, 5 minutes to go in, grab something to go, and leave. But a great little tap room there, and I've had some fantastic beers from them. One of them called Barrel-Aged Vanilla Chickow. So check that out if you get a chance. If you're in the Cincinnati area, find Listerman's. Great, great beers, especially their barrel-aged stouts are outstanding. So we're going to move around to Indiana. And, you know, my big one that everybody would know, of course, is Three Floyds.
Oh, man, just the one.
I'm going to leave you with a smaller one then.
I'm not even going to do one since you're doing it.
Okay, well. Three Floyds, obviously, whenever I'm down in that neck of the woods, obviously everybody knows Zombie Dust is probably the best pale ale on the planet. And you can actually drink a few of them because they're not that strong. They're around 5%, I think. Unbelievably great flavor, but they do, you know, almost everything they make is fantastic. And I think my favorite beer from them is the, what's the double IPA I like so much? Arctic Panzer Wolf. This is unquestionably my favorite beer from them. So if you ever get into Munster, Indiana, I think it's not too far from Chicagoland. If you're driving from Michigan to Chicago, you go right through that area, I believe. I know it's usually horrible traffic. I'm sure Doug can vouch for that. But worth fighting the traffic for. And then just go to Wisconsin. Dugout's already mentioned how great New Glarus is, but I got to mention Central Waters as a brewery that I've never had anything that wasn't outstanding from. Love their barrel-aged Scotch Ale, barrel-aged barley wine, barrel-aged stout. We get limited distribution on them here in Michigan. But again, another great Wisconsin brewery. So those are the breweries that I would recommend in my neighboring states. I'll pass it over to you to Pete if you have any closing comments.
Well, I'm going to just make a funny here and say I'm going to honor a brewery in our neighbors to the north, which is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's almost like a separate state.
Wisconsin, right?
I mean, as soon as you cross the Mackinac Bridge going north into the Upper Peninsula, you do feel like you're in another state. The geography changes, the forest changes, the rock formation changes, the whole atmosphere just changes. And if you get up into Marquette, Michigan, and are able to hit Black Rocks Brewery, I know we've mentioned it many times on the show. Great variety of beers and a great vibe and an atmosphere there. You know, the 51K IPA, the Nomos, just so many good beers. So Black Rocks, you might not be in a different state, but maybe you're up north in the altered state, we'll call it.
Anyway, okay, just one final thing. I wanted to thank our buddy Eric out in Longview, Washington. Really wanted to join us tonight, but with four kids, and he informed us that he got the evil stare from his wife when he was going to try to join us. Got to remember, we record the show 9 o'clock Eastern time, but that's 6 o'clock p.m. on the West Coast. He's just getting home from work and he's got a house full of kids and daddy duties. But he was really bummed because for this one episode, he really wanted to join us. And he sent us a picture of a beer called the Law of Motion from Degard, one of the treasured sour beer breweries of the Pacific Northwest and out of the United States, really. Anybody that's into sours would always know Degard is one of the top names. And this particular beer is called the Law of Motion, a spontaneous wild ale with cider apples. So that's probably what he would have loved to review with us. But so just wanted him to know we're thinking of him and that we mentioned his beer and we wish he could have joined us. And we'll look forward to the day when one day he'll actually get a kitchen pass from his wife to help out. But I certainly understand as a dad with two youngsters here too, 9 o'clock's a little more manageable than 6. So I think that about does it. Any final comments? Anybody have any hipster tipster news before we sign off?
Well, there was the one piece on Guinness, which has a brewery in Maryland now. Guinness is going to brew their first bourbon barrel-aged stout. I mean, dude, I'd drink that.
Brewed in Baltimore, right? Brewed in the United States at the Baltimore
Brewery. And the barrel aging program will be at the Baltimore Brewery. So apparently these are some more projects that are coming down the pipeline for them.
I look forward to it as well. JR and I were discussing that in the car today as we were driving up to Old Nation. So that's a good news.
Yep. Can't think of anything else. Anybody else? I guess everybody's just kind of bracing for stout season here. A lot of big releases coming up. You know, Black Friday, I think Oddside Ale is having a big release of one beer in particular I'm really looking forward to is that, was it Maple Bourbon Wishes Pecan Dreams, I think it's called. So look for that. Rye Hipster Brunch, which is everybody's favorite from Old Nation. So that'll be coming up. Of course, we got Bourbon County.
Oddsides, yeah.
Yep, Oddside Ales. So then we got Bourbon County coming up from... You know, I know not everybody's favorite because it's part of the Evil Empire, but their quality of those beers are still good. What else? Anybody else have anything going on for Black Friday? I'm sure there's other releases that I'm not thinking of, but...
I finally decided to get one of the Advent cases from Greenbush.
Oh! So,
yeah.
I was thinking about that earlier today, and I was like, damn it, I missed it again.
Yeah, I've never gotten to do it either, and finally I got it, and I thought this will be a good year. where you can try, you know, one beer a day leading up till Christmas. It's a case of beer.
Are they still open, do you know? Huh? Are they still open with it?
You'll have to check. I'm not sure. I didn't think so, but
yeah, I'll have a look. I've kind of spent money on the beer this week anyways.
So. Yeah, don't we all know how that feels? I know. But that's what I'm doing on Black Friday. I'm going to run up there and grab my case and be able to drink some good beers leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, I did that one year. It is fun. Every day you got a beer to open. I will say I had to take a few days off and drink two or three in one day to catch up, but it's a fun novelty. And what great thing about those Greenbush beers in there is there's some beers that you can only get as part of the Advent calendar that they don't really release outside the tap room. So there will be some real good nuggets, some treats for you in that, Uncle Pete.
Well, and hey, I just heard that Aldi is putting out an Advent cheese calendar, and they're also doing an Advent wine calendar. So,
yeah, I saw the wine one. I didn't see it, but I heard
they've
about
got it. They've got a cheese one as well. So maybe you and Cindy can just, you get the beer, she gets the wine, you both eat the cheese.
Well, I'll have
to try. Goes right into, would you like some cheese with that wine?
Yeah.
All right, anything on your end, Ross? Any plans for Black Friday?
Well, Black Friday is a difficult one for me, except when I come travel to visit you. So, mostly we go to my parents' house in Bishopville, Maryland. So that leaves me, I got Burley Oak and Dogfish Head, and that's about it. I mean, there's some smaller Ocean City breweries too, but there's not a whole lot of targeted things happening at that time in the location I'm going to be. So,
well, I don't think I hear any violins playing for you if you have to go to Dogfish Head, because that's always a great time.
Burley Oaks.
All right, everybody. Everybody ready to head to Mexico City? Because it's been a long day. Lots of great beers. Lots of great friends. And I think it's time. So, as they say in old Mexico City...
AMF.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.